Bibles into, Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And as you guys are searching for that, I just want to say something real quick. But I can kind of understand what Levi, Garrett, and Jesse are probably feeling right now. I went through a similar, I spoke about a month and a half ago, and as Garrett said, your nerves are shot, and you're, but at the same time, you're excited to be up here as well. And so I'm not going to try to take spotlight away from these guys, but I just want to say, Levi, Garrett, you guys did an excellent job, and I have the utmost confidence in Jesse that he's going to do an excellent job as well. So, all right, let's start reading. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I have suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am, have believed, and am not persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Good evening. There was a box of Kleenexes here, and I thought maybe Dad put them there because I thought maybe I have the genetic of nose running, so I wanted to be careful of that. I just wanted to look in tonight for a couple minutes at verse 12. And Paul here is in prison right now, and I couldn't really grasp the fact that Paul right now is suffering and he's in jail, and his physical state is at risk, and yet he's not worried about his spiritual state. And so I just want to read verse 12 again. It says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him that day." It says Paul was persuaded, and he wasn't he wasn't kind of on that side of trusting in God, or he wasn't kind of almost there. He said he was persuaded that Jesus was able to keep his soul until that day, and that day being when the Lord comes back. And so just for a couple minutes, I was going to give my testimony. And when I was first asked, that's exactly what I thought I should do. And so I asked my grandfather, I kind of said, I don't really have much of a story. And he said, it's a miracle that you were saved. And so it's just a short little experience, but it's still a miracle. So I'm just going to read it off. When I was young, I had made a profession, but I don't really remember it. I do remember really clearly being convicted of my sin. And most of you know me really well, or know who I am, and that I've been here my whole life, and the gospel has been preached from this pulpit many times. And vividly, I can remember years of doubting if I'd ever been saved and being really convicted of my sin. And so by the age of 12, I had gotten so good at pushing off the thoughts of sin and being convicted that it wasn't bothering me anymore. And I had known the gospel super well, and I knew I was a sinner before God. It says Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I was very aware of that. And so I've had this quote for a couple years now, and I really like what it says. It says, "Until I appropriate salvation with myself, it won't make sense. Until I appropriate salvation with myself, it won't make sense." And I remember the experience really well. I was 12, and that night I applied it to my life. I surrendered. I had gotten all the thoughts correct. I just hadn't applied it to my life. And so just coming to God with a true heart tonight, I just rested on the fact that Jesus Christ was my Savior. And recently in the past year and up to this message, I've really kind of gotten a grasp on how it's nothing that we can do to save us. It's really just trusting in him and resting. And there's no prayer or act or you can't give a deed to God. It's just resting in what he did in Calvary. So tonight, I just want to look just for like a couple minutes on tonight if you doubt your salvation. That's such a big part of my salvation experience, knowing for sure. And so if you could turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. And I just have a couple points. They're not mine, but I really liked them, and I thought they were true. And just before I read a verse there, I just want to put some primary reasons for doubt. First, maybe it's because we have an ignorance of the Word of God. Maybe we're not understanding what he said he'd do. We're not trusting in his promises. And second goes along with it, says maybe we have a misunderstanding of who God is and what he's like, an unawareness of what God is doing in our life. Or we're not trusting in the promises that he's laid out, really clearly in his word too. And finally, one that kind of was closer to home for me is maybe your doubt stems from sin in your life or the feeling of guilt. I felt something, and I think feelings are always brought into salvation when it's not anywhere in the Bible. And so I was searching this out, trying to find where I could find feelings in the Bible of, you know, you'll know for sure. And I didn't have bells that went off when I was saved. And so I was looking for feelings, and I couldn't find any. And I realized that it's not that. It's just taking God at his word. And so Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, and that being the word of God. And coming in full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from evil conscience. See, Satan's caught in direct lie here. He's saying, don't come to God. I'm guilty before God. I need to back away. And it's saying here, come first with a true heart in full assurance, and then be having a repentant spirit, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. And so Satan plays these mind games with us and these feelings that, well, I don't feel safe today, and I feel safe today, and it's not anything about that. It's simply just taking God at his word. And for the final couple of verses, it's in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. And we all know these verses really well. It says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And this is really black and white in verse 12. It says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And tonight, it's not about feelings. And if our foundation at the very core of and why we meet here is because of Christ and because we've accepted him as Savior, if tonight you're here because this is something you've always done, if your foundation is shook every now and again by, well, I don't know for sure, how is God going to use you in your daily life? And it says in James, I'm paraphrasing, it says in chapter 1 that he says, I'm paraphrasing God, he says, don't even bother coming to me with your prayers or requests if you doubt, because I'm not going to hear them. And I was just thinking of this today. My aunt, you know, Brenda DeVries, she's terminally ill with cancer, and her prognosis is she's going to die. And for us, praying for her, I always assume when I'm praying about her, and only the couple times that I have, I'm thinking she's going to die. And I just assume that's what the will of God is. And we have the audacity to kind of come to God and say, that's too much for you. You can't do that. And we have that doubt. And so God's saying, why would I even bother answering your prayers if you're gonna trust me? I just want to read this one more time. And this is so black and white tonight. You're either saved or you're not saved. There's no in between. It says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And that makes God our Savior. And he who does not believe, God has made him a liar. You're calling God a liar, because tonight, if you don't believe in the Bible, that's a bigger issue, and I'm not really able right now to talk about that. I don't really know too much of that today, but what I do know tonight, that if you're believing that the Bible is true, but yet you're saying, well, oh, I'm not sure if this is real or not about the Savior, it says God has made him, you've made God a liar, because you're not believing what it says right here, believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. And in verse 11, it says, and this is the testimony, that being like the word of God, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That life referring to our Christian life, our eternal life, daily coming to him, and that's living out that life, and that's a life of joy and not relaxation, but just peace. And then verse 13, these things I have written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence we have in him. We have confidence in what we believe tonight. I do anyways, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so just in closing, I just want to put the question out there, do you know for sure tonight? Because there's nothing more important in this world if we can gain the best jobs and the best and the wealth and the nicest cars and me, a nicer violin and all that stuff. That's not going to matter in light of eternity. And my dad says a quote, and he threatened to use it this morning. I told him he wasn't allowed to. It says, believe in your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. And so tonight, just make sure that, take a walk around your foundation and make sure that all the trust that you're putting is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do anything to save yourself. It's too great a cost to be wrong because the Lord's coming back. Anyways, that's all I have. So, Dave, where are you from?